Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. Today, I would like to continue the conversation that we started last week with Carla Davis. She's a spokesperson for the Better Business Bureau. And in that conversation, we were discussing the scams and frauds that have been perpetrated throughout North America, actually throughout the world. And the Better Business Bureau has just released their list of the top 10 scams for 2018. So every year they compile research based on complaints and various reports that have been presented to them. And then they put together this top 10 scam list. So the top 10 scam winners are the romance scam, the income tax extortion scam. We've got online purchases, employment scams, phishing, which I'd like to find out some more information about that one directly from Carla in just a few minutes. Subscription scams, advance fee loan scams, tech support scams, home improvement, and the bank investigator scam. And that's a new one. I haven't seen that one on the list in the number of years that I've been watching for this particular top 10 list. So Carla, thank you so much for your time again. Thanks for joining us. It was a very good conversation that we had last week, and thank you for being willing to continue that conversation this week.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Certainly my pleasure.
So let's start with the income tax extortion scam. I personally got a few calls on this one, and I know many people have gotten calls on this one. I'm surprised this is still circulating and still successful. What's the update on that scam?
So this scam, you know, it's one of the most common because a lot of people have some form of encounter with it in some way. I mean, we did a little survey just to ask the public, you know, if there were list the top three scams, or at least list three scams that you've had an encounter with. And the CRA was there for almost every single response. So it's not uncommon. We've seen it increase over the years. So it's last year in 2017, it was sixth place, and the losses were around $5 million. But this year, it's number two on the list, and the losses have increased, which is moving it up to over $6 million. So we're seeing the increase, and we're a little, you know, concerned because it's not about a lack of knowledge or awareness about the scam, but we believe it's possibly an increase in the level of aggression and the level of desperation that they've put victims into that has caused the numbers to go up. So, yes, we're still seeing the same trend in terms of how the scam operates, in terms of, you know, you're getting the threatening phone calls, you're getting the text messages, you're getting the emails, and you're getting the letters in the mail that seem to look like they're coming from CRA. But in some instances, there's a level of aggression attached to it. And then the scammers have also gotten very good at becoming very, or seeming very authentic. So those are the two main factors that we think have contributed to the increase in this particular scam. But it kind of has a twist this year as well, because we labeled it income tax extortion scam. So there's been an extortion element it as well that we've been detecting in our reports, in the sense that people are being have reported that they're being blackmailed for money, and that they're using the CRA's name to, you know, push and give weight to that extortion. So they'll say, for instance, that, you know, we've received this photo, this compromising photo of you, and, you know, if you don't pay us this much or pay up on the taxes that you've owed, you know, we're going to release this to the public, kind of thing. So they're using that angle to try and get people to, quote unquote, pay for their taxes, but it's really just a scam.
I can't imagine any citizen of Canada thinking that our government would resort to such disgusting tactics.
It's hard to imagine that people would fall for it, but they do. And I mean, the numbers are showing us that, you know, it's happening. And, you know, I think part of the concern as well is that the scammers have found a way to make the situation critical. So, for instance, business owners, you know, who have been to college or are well-educated and are, you know, active professionals, they've fallen for this scam because they've been placed in a position where I cannot afford to not pay this because it will compromise or jeopardize my business. And so they end up falling for that scam because, you know, their business seems to be on the line. So, yeah, that's the kind. And then they're pressured to put their backs there against the wall. They're pressured and they feel like, if I don't do this right now, yeah, I could lose my business. And that's how they end up falling for that scam.
So I'd like a little more information from you regarding this particular scam and the structure of the contact and how these people go about even getting in touch with the people that they scam. So I received a couple of phone calls. My husband received a couple of phone calls. We've never received emails, text messages, or letters in the mail. So it does seem like you're saying that the level of sophistication in terms of contact point has gone up and the authenticity, or at least the assumed authenticity, has increased. How do they go about contacting people? Walk us through kind of the updated structure, please.
Okay, so first of all, what they'll probably start out with is a phone call. You might get a phone call and explaining that there is some issue with your tax file, or that you are entitled to a refund, and so they need additional information to do that processing. In some instances, people for it as early as that, and if they don't, then the threats will start to be thrown at you over the phone. After that phone call, we notice the next step that they'll probably do is use an email. Especially if they have that kind of information for that particular victim that they've called, they'll follow up with an email to say, hey, to kind of justify or validate the first contact. And the emails, we've actually been receiving copies of emails that victims and the general public have been getting. And you actually see Canada Revenue Agency or Maple Leaf. It looks legitimate. It looks authentic. But it's when you start to read the information that you realize the flaws. So, for example, they'll say their taxpayer, a very generic term. They don't refer to you by name. You'll see where in the letters, most of them will speak about you being entitled to a refund. So that's how they try to pull on a benefit to you that would encourage you to keep going further. So that's the hook. And then they'll speak about, for example, one of the letters we received said the person was entitled to a refund of $500. And in order for them to process it, they would need her to click this link, and the link is included in the email. And sincerely, Canada Revenue Agency. that's how the emails and the letters that come in the mail as well are structured. So they look authentic. They seem to be saying the right things. They seem to be saying things that you would want to hear, or you'd be more interested in going, clicking to find out more about. So that's how they do that. In terms of the text and emails, they come in as well, and some of them do have links attached in the text messages. That's another way to get information from you, because the bottom line is they're either trying to get your information or get access to your accounts to get money. So it's all about, it's always a financial motive in some way. So with your information that they get, if they get your name, they get your address, they get your telephone number, if you have made the mistake of giving them your social insurance number, that's information that they can monetize. They can turn that into a job application. They can use that to get a loan. They can use that to file a tax return and collect your refund. So that's how they can benefit from just the information itself. And then taxes on a whole, they can assume your identity and just, use that to create other problems and act out other frauds.
Wow, so these are actually connected to other schemes and other scams, because I look at this list and as a top 10, they seem very individualized, but you're saying they actually funnel into other scams.
A lot of them are interconnected. So, for example, if you look at number three, which was the online purchase scam. Online purchase scams are looking at other kinds of scams as well, in terms of like fake checks. You're looking at fake websites. Those are the kind of, so everything is interconnected. All of those scams, and some of those online purchase scams end up falling into the subscription scams as well, and falling into the phishing scams as well, and falling into employment scams as well. So everything is interconnected in some way. Yeah.
All right. So I do need you at this point to explain what phishing is, because I've got a concept of phishing, but this phishing is phishing. What is phishing?
So phishing is pretty much, and putting it as simply as possible, the bottom line is the scammer is pretending to be who they're not so that they can retrieve financial and confidential information from you. So that's the whole concept of phishing. So phishing involves using different methods, but the end goal is to get money or information that they can turn into money. So in terms of phishing, one of the most common strategies is the emails. You'll get an email with a link. You click on the link, and the back end, what happens is when you open that email and you click on the link, a lot of the times you are redirected to another website, which, you know, will expose you to greater levels of threat in terms of, you know, malware, some form of virus. If you input your information, you know, it's completely compromised. So that's one end. And then the other end is, at the same time, when you click on the links, what can happen is that the information seems to be okay or seems to be protected, but the virus or the malware gets embedded into your computer or into your system. And on the back end, unknown to everyone else, they're actually retrieving personal information, getting bank account information, getting passwords, getting information that they can now sell on the dark web or that they can use to further compromise the entire system. And, you know, it was announced, I think it was a report that came out, I think, yesterday about a liquor company in BC that had their system completely compromised by ransomware, where they received a ransom and they were told that their whole system was compromised and was pretty much kidnapped, and they would have to pay a certain amount of money to get back access to their systems. And that ended up shutting down production for an entire week, and, you know, the production line was completely impacted. But what we learned from that was that, on average, a business or an individual might take up to close to 200 days will pass before they even realize that their system has been hacked. So it brings the question, what has been happening that whole time? And when you discovered it, how much has already been compromised? You know, and the information that you found that was compromised, is that all that was compromised, you know? So yeah, it's pretty extensive.
So I would like to go back to the Canada Revenue point, because you had mentioned there's phone calls, emails, texting. Generally, when I've reached out to Canada Revenue to get information from them, it's kind of a chore to get Canada Revenue on the phone. And it seems like Canada Revenue, but of course it's the scammers, are basically hunting people down. Does Canada Revenue send emails and texts legitimately? Do they participate in that kind of communication?
Well, first and foremost, the main way that Canada Revenue Agency communicates with the public is by a letter in the mail. Text messages are an absolute no. There are instances where they will send an email, but it's not to request or solicit personal information from the public. They'll probably send you an email to say, please go to your account, and there is information there that, you know, you need to receive or you need to be updated on. So it's more of a notification as opposed to a request for information.